From our Chicago area studios, this is Behind the Destruction, your Demolition Derby podcast. And now for your hosts, Chris Neumer and Steve Gursky Jr. Welcome to Behind the Destruction.
Welcome to Behind the Destruction, sponsored by Driven Restorations. I'm your host, Chris Neumer. With me, as always, the Steve Gursky who didn't win any season-end awards at the TDA Demo Banquet, Steve Gursky Jr.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks for the introduction.
Yes. Well, you know, on the heels of that, I've actually gotten a number of emails about my statement in an earlier podcast that you, Steve, were the MVP of the league. And I actually printed out a couple of these emails. Now, here's one. This says, hey, asshole, how's it feel being wrong? That was from Ryan D. And then here's another one from R. Decker. It says, you ready to trade up and get a real co-host, someone who can actually drive? And then there was a third one here that said, that Ryan Decker is really sexy, broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip. I've heard he's going to be modeling for Dolce & Gabbana's spring line. And that was from number 13. And there was a hashtag that said, go green or go home. I don't know what to make of any of that.
Jeez.
But
I think I might know who that was.
No idea. So I'm looking into that. I feel like I've franchise tagged you for the next couple episodes of the podcast until we investigate certain other leads. But
yeah, I think you basically what you do is you curse me. But you know, I don't know. Got a big old trophy to bring home, so that's the most important thing.
No, the most important thing is that you and I are back.
We are back.
We are back with a loud woo
woo.
So, what do you got?
Nothing really.
I think I made a couple notes about teenagers wearing UGG boots or something about the difference between a U joint and a rag joint.
I got some gossip maybe.
Some
shifting of people from team to team, I suppose.
A rumor mill.
Yeah. You know, I'm always full of that. You know, I get most of my information from Brian Anderson, and we all know that he knows everything.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
So, but it looks like the league is kind of planing out and shaping up to be a good year coming up with some of the driver changes. Some will probably happen, you know, a month before the season starts.
Well, what I like about, you know, it's rumors are many and myriad, but what I like is the fact that it seems like the league is sort of smoothing out. There's a lot of parity. It seems like looking ahead that there could be a solid six teams or so that really have a shot at going for the championship.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be great with, you know, how everything has kind of leveled out, you know, instead of just being, you know, basically two dominant teams, you know, with everyone kind of shuffling around, you know, you're going to have any team at, you know, any night could win. So, I mean, you know, by fourth night, it could be, you know, four teams going into it, five teams, who knows, you know,
yeah,
going for a championship. And, you know, that's exciting racing to watch.
Yeah, and it's nice to actually be able to, like, back that statement up with fact. Like, you know, most of the time you're like, oh, any given Sunday or Saturday, you know, you can go out there and any team can win. And, you know, really the driver's like, yeah, we're not losing to Smash, Bash, and Crash. We're not losing to Stranglehold. We're not losing to Seek and Destroy. This year it's like, no, we actually might.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, just from some of the things I heard, I know that, you know, Team 1 at this point I think still has a driver slot open. And, you know, Ryan Decker, you know, might go to 4, might not. Who knows? You know,
yeah, he was talking about that in December.
Yeah. You know, Team 8's shaping up. You know, from what I hear from Repo Dave is that, you know, he got Johnny Ryan in for, you know, maybe a couple races this year. And, you know, Team 7 is with the Hard Tongues and Brian and Speedy now. And, you know, it seems, you know, Team 4, I mean, you know, if they were to add in Decker, or even if they didn't, I mean,
that's a solid
I guess
team.
For me, you know, I you know, I'll probably catch a lot of, you know, crap from Brian and Speedy, but I mean, you're kind of looking at a, you know, a preseason favorite, I guess, would be Full Throttle, I guess, you know.
With, really? Now, let me ask you this, because like, I was actually talking about this with somebody. Looking forward, like with all the information or rumors or just parsing it out as you and I do, who would, if you had to put money on one team winning the championship this next year, who would it be?
Well, you know, I guess with the information you have now, let's say you look at Orange Crush. If Ryan Bleuer goes back to the team, now this is just rumors, but what I've heard is it would be him, Elmer, Ron, and Carl Brower. And, you know, that's a really good, solid team. But I just think there's a little bit of momentum from Team 4 coming through. You know, Levi seems to be getting better and better, you know, driving. You know, Ronnie Johnson's good. Pete, you know, it's the experience that they have plus, you know, the drive that Levi's got. You know, they fill that other slot, you know, with another quality, just a quality, say, you know, B minus driver, you know, I guess to me, I guess they would be my pick. So, but we'll
have now, I would say that, like, looking ahead, that my first thought would be that Mean Green would be in a really good position. Not only did they win a night last year, but, you know, Decker's coming on strong. He's not only won the MVP last year. Do you remember that Ryan Decker won the MVP for 2011? I don't know if you
yeah.
knew that.
Faintly, I have something like that.
But, you know, he's coming on strong. I mean, he really has something like six, maybe seven nights of racing under his belt, and that's it. When you consider that how, well, green he actually is, it seems kind of unusual. And if that team holds together, they're going to be good. But here's my pick looking at it. I like Bad Company. Or whatever name they so choose, Team 3. I mean, you look at that team, and, you know, they got Garrett Kahuna, big Kahuna Vanderbilt coming over from Team 1, great runner. They've supposedly got Kyle Scheer and Jason Rotaco crushing. And who am I missing? Because I know they have another 14 drivers on the team. Bryce has got some good things coming on. Joe Snow might be showing up for a couple races. Rob McKay, good backup driver.
Right. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, the only reason, it's not that I overlook them. I just look at the fact that, what is that, six men?
Yep.
Six-man team? You know, and it just seems like when you start rotating too much.
Yeah. Puff, puff, give. You know, puff, puff, just, give.
Yep. It seems to really affect, I guess, I wouldn't say strategy. It just doesn't seem like they mesh well. You know, I mean.
Well, you want to race.
I remember I raced on a team that we rotated in and out, and it just didn't seem like you could get a good, you know, you finally get used to your guys, and they rotate a guy out, and he goes out there and does something unexpected. It kind of throws the team for, you know, the other three guys for a loop, you know. You know, that's why I like with Reckoning, we tried to keep, you know, the same guys on the track.
Yeah,
well,
I think this is one of those stats that I came up with was that when you saw how few, like, the best indicator of success for a team is how few drivers they had. The fewer the number of drivers, the more success they had. If I recall correctly, Reckoning and Full Throttle had the least amount of drivers, I believe, with five apiece. And, you know, you guys were 1 and 2 in the standings.
Right. Well, you know, and you look at Orange Crush and you look at how many guys they had, and they're all good drivers. I just think, you know, you start swapping in and out. And, you know, let's say they did it just because – they didn't want to build that many cars, you know, and they were okay with it, you know, and there was no bickering because, you know, having, you know, I wanted to race that race, you know, or whatever it was. I just think you just can't, you know, build. You can't, you know, it's like if your team gets hot, you go out there and you race the first night of racing, and you got four guys that race all three, and you're just flying through people. And then the next night you switch out one or two guys, you know. You know, if you're hot, keep on going. You know, keep them four
guys
also, in there.
There's also a mental aspect of it where it's like, you know, you want, you know, nobody participates in a sport where they don't want to play. Everybody wants to be on the field. Everyone wants to be on the track and get out there and race. And it's like, it seems like from a mental standpoint that it's like, if you know that you're not going to race, it's like, I don't want to say you're tuning out, but it's like, well, I'm not racing the first round, so I don't have to pay attention. There's no eye of the tiger, that focus on, you know, just, I got to get in the zone. It's just, it's not there. It's like, well, I'm not racing. Oh, I got to focus on round two or whatever the case might be.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like you look at, like, let's use Orange Crush, for example, veteran
with
drivers,
six,
you know,
six
Ryan
on the team.
Sits out. Ryan. Yeah, you know, Johnny Ryan sits out a race. Well, look at the first, you know, the first night that they raced. Johnny Ryan sat out. Peter Ryan went in, and they went up against Full Throttle. And, you know, for whatever reason it was, they lost. You know, was it
they just lost. Lock, that's it.
They lost, but it's like, you know, if you're racing somebody, you know, you should just put your four best guys out there all the time, you know, instead of like, oh, this is so-and-so. It's a new team, you know. We're going to do this, you know, and then it kind of bites you. And then from that point on, you're scrambling to get back to, you know.
Well, it doesn't seem like it would be the greatest promoter of teamwork either. I would just assume that with six people that it's very easy to check out mentally. You know you're not racing first round, so you're not preparing as hard. You're just not. It doesn't seem like you'd be as much a part of a team if you're not, you know, you're not racing every race.
I don't know. I mean, if you're part of a team, you're going to, I guess, and if you're 100% with okay with, be, you know, sitting out, you know, you're going to, you know, you're the team player. You're the cheerleader now, you know. I mean, you can sit there and watch a race go and cheer your team on and be mentally ready, you know. I mean, it's different for everyone.
That is easier said than done.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I did it in 2007, you know. It's the hardest thing is to sit out a race, and especially if you think you're better than someone that's out there racing, you know, your spot, and the team loses and they did nothing. Oh, that's tough. That's tough to swallow. And you know, I dealt with that on Stranglehold. They ended up having some guy, I don't even remember his name. That's how totally irrelevant he was.
Yeah, there's no good way to get past that one. You know, I think about Bad Company, and it seems strange. Like, I mentioned this to someone else, and they were like, well, you know, Bad Company went 2-5 or whatever in 2011.
Yeah, that's right. You love Bad Company.
I did. I thought they showed a lot of energy. Yes.
Yeah. Energy?
Well,
like a couple of their cars showed some energy. I
mean, yes,
maybe not some of the other ones.
Well, that was the thing. It's like, you know, how much of a part does bad luck play in a team's makeup? And it's like you take a look at it, and it's, you know, Bryce Martin is not a bad car builder. He's a good car builder. He just had bad things happen to him.
I've heard that he's good at building cars. I know that he's still learning a lot of stuff, which is fine. But yeah, they had bad luck. I mean, I think Rotaco had a coil problem.
Yep.
You know, and unless you ground it out or I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if it was a coil that was ran for on a car for, you know, 40 years, then yeah, I could see that. But you got a new coil and you go out on the track and right there it dies on you. That's bad luck, you know. Bryce's cars were, you know, I don't think they're tuned properly. You know, the first race of the year against us, he come up to the line with a car that was, you know, puffing black smoke. You knew right away that, you know, he's flooding out and he was going to be a non-factor, and he was. Mm-hmm. So,
but I think that those are the things, like, they don't – usually you don't see it's like for people, particularly, like, you know, I talk to people, and, you know from experience that even if I'm looking at a car, I have no idea whether it's built well or not.
Right.
And, you know, from the people I talk to, you know, Bryce did a decent job building his cars. You know, he has people looking him over who have been around for a long time going, that looks pretty good. And he gets out there and something just goes wrong. It's like
yeah, I think what he's lacking is the ability to tune his own car. And then, you know, you have someone else tune it, and, you know, regardless what happens, if it was the person that tuned it or if it just, you know, floats stuck in the carburetor, whatever it is. You know, yeah, there is bad luck, and you know, a transmission can go out unexpectedly, a coil can go out, you know, a tire could fall off, you know, well, that's, yeah. I guess, preparation, but, you know, but the thing is, you have to help yourself, you know, if you have a car that goes out there and, you know, craps out because it's flooding out, you have to rethink, you know, okay, who tuned it? We're not going to have them tune that again, you know, or how about, let's just get a different carburetor, you know, or whatever it is. You can fight the bad luck, you know. It's expensive because you have to buy a lot of new stuff. But, you know, I mean, does luck play a part? Oh, you bet.
Certainly this last. And it's not something where I'm going to look at Damage Inc. or Seek and Destroy and talk about their bad luck. But it's certainly something where I look at that particular team and go, yeah, they had some bad luck there. And, you know, it's there's a statistic in baseball. It's called batting average on balls in play, BABIP. And across the boards, that average for almost every player is about the same. And it's like if a player's batting average on balls in play drops down precipitously one year, it's like you can be pretty sure he's going to bounce back the next year with a better year. And it's like it's just one of those things that's as close to, you know, luck as there is in the world of baseball. And it's like you can sort of see that and you plan on it. And it's like, you know, if you see a team that has a lot of bad luck but potential, like I do with Team 3, I go, you know, I think they're going to have a bounce back year. And then you get a driver like Kahuna to come on the team. It's like that seems like a very solid pickup.
Yeah, especially if he can regain his, you know, driving and stuff like that from, you know, you're talking from, you know, 2005. He was real good lap runner. And then going up into 2008 with Junkyard Dogs, 2009, you know, he was real good. This last year he seemed a little rusty, you know, but if he can come out there and, you know, kind of get half of what, you know, his lap running back, and, you know, with Bryce, he'd probably run laps, and, you know, Jason, throw him as a crusher, and Kyle, well, mm-hmm. We know Kyle can give her, you know. So, yeah, I see your point, but I just really think that, you know, to me it's like a confidence level, you know. I think with bringing Kahuna on the team, it's going to boost the team's confidence, but to me, Team 4 just seems to be kind of rolling a little higher, I guess, and, you know, got a little bit more confidence, so...
Yeah, and it's funny, they also seem like two very different teams. Like Team 4 seems sort of like a boxer who's going to lull you in and then just deliver like some really solid techniques and just knock the shit out of you when
like
you least
finesse.
Expect it.
I mean, that's how
I smart,
see them.
Veteran.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I think, you know, like with them, you know, Pete Millett Jr. always says, you know, it's basically no money and one helper, you know,
yeah.
is what they
what
do.
What is it, four cars, two helpers, no money? I think that was the quote.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they got a little chip on their shoulder, and I like it, you know.
Yeah.
I really do. And, you know, I mean, so the prediction here for me is Team 4 is going to contend, and they're going to take out Team 3, your team.
Yeah.
Your favorite team. So you heard it first here.
Well, we will see. But I, of course, reserve the right to change that.
What, edit? Is that what it is?
That's what it is. But, no, that's, you know, it's funny. You mentioned Pete Millett Jr.'s quote. I don't know about you, but, you know, I was at the awards banquet. And I got to tell you, one of my favorite moments of the entire awards banquet was the sort of simultaneous thank you speeches from Pete Millett Jr. and Levi Turnbaugh together. It was the type of thing, like, I want to see these two guys. I want to have both of them on the podcast, and I want to give them a lot of alcohol beforehand. It was fantastic listening to the two of those guys just sort of riff off each other.
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
I'd actually like to see the two of them host the event at some point in time, or an event, any event, really. I don't even care if it's sort of like a 20th century
women's
club.
We're going to
be out
of a job if you have them host a podcast. Jeez.
I think it would be a slightly different – there would be a slightly different theme, but it's like I'd be listening. I'd be downloading. So do you – like there's a phenomenon currently at play in the NBA with Lin Sanity, where Jeremy Lin, the point guard for the New York Knicks, really came out of absolutely nowhere to become this well, a high scoring, high assisting, and high turnover.
Yeah, I mean, I've even heard of him, and I don't watch that junk. So,
do you think that there's a possibility in the demo world where somebody in their first race just comes out and just amazes people? And it's like you know, you and I will be sitting here in June talking about, you know, I don't know. Rex Worthington, the latest demo driver who just came out of nowhere to star. Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean...
is it probable?
No. I think, you know, because what it is the veterans dominate, you know. And when I use veteran loosely, you know, I go from, you know, say 5 years. I think you could be a veteran at 4 years in, okay? If you're racing and you got a number of, you know, third rounds under your belt and stuff, you know, you could be a veteran of the sport. You know, obviously there's extreme veterans, you know, that, well, I guess one's my dad,
you know, or your brother
or my brother. Yeah. You know, they dominate. You can't, you know, the experience, you know, you can sit and watch. I remember, you know, growing up with this sport, and finally getting the chance and go out there and race. And you're always on the other side of that fence watching that. When you get on the track, it's like, wow, this track's a lot smaller. You know, this is different. This isn't like what I thought it would be. You know, I still did well, but a lot of it was like, wow, you know, I thought this was going to be one way and it was totally different. And I think because of that, you know, you're not going to get that first time driver out there that's just going to go out there and, you know, I guess crush wise, not going to get him go out there and go crazy crushing, you know, and be accurate and be able to put good hits on the cars, you know. You know, there was a rookie driver, Andy Fleischman, I think his name.
Full throttle.
He came out and ran some awesome laps in the first night of 2011, you know. And I think it's easier to go out there as a rookie and run laps than it would be to go out there and crush, because the timing is so important with crushing, you know. So basically to answer your question, what it's going to be is a normal crusher veteran is going to come out there and do what he's been doing, and everyone's going to be like, yep, you know, not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, so even more improbable than the current Jeremy Lin situation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. All I gathered from that was he was really overlooked. So, I mean, yeah. I guess you would have to have like
an Asian demo driver.
Yeah. Oh, hey, maybe.
Yeah.
Equal opportunity. Never know.
Yep. That I will just say I think that has the makings and markings of so many different lawsuits for so many different reasons. All right. Well, it is good to be back. We are going to continue. We are now in our new studio, Kosher Studios, out here in Woodridge, and look to be pretty good to go for a long, lengthy run. I'm sure we're going to come back a little bit later on in the year with a more detailed preview, where you can, you know, potentially change your mind on Full Throttle after, you know, Bluer ends up as the ninth driver on Team 3.
You never know. Could be a possibility.
It will be a possibility, but good to be back getting the old podcasting legs underneath us again. And we will return next week for even more.
Bye-bye.
For Chris Neumer and Steve Gersky Jr., go Gersky or go home. I'm John Sunzimer. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and thank you for listening. For past episodes of Behind the Destruction and the latest Demolition Derby columns and interviews, please visit BehindTheDestruction.com. You can follow us on our Facebook page or follow Chris Neumer on Twitter @CNeumer. CNEUMER.